Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
Can you walk us through the decision to make the deal with the Chargers? And then secondly, I'm curious if you were surprised at the run of tackles there at the end of the second round.
Yeah, so we felt like Polk was the player that we were going to pick at 34. And we felt based on some of the intel that we had from other teams that we would be able to trade back a little bit and still get him. So we made that deal and were able to move up from the fifth to the fourth with the Chargers. And then your point about the run of tackles is a good one. That's part of the reason we decided not to move back. It was just kind of like, well, let's not chance it. This is the player we had targeted all along anyway. Let's just pick him.
Elliot Wolf on Friday night, following day two of the draft, when the Patriots moved back to take the receiver, Jalen Polk. Weapon for Drake May, who we'll be talking to here about 30 minutes from now on Jones and Mego. Very excited.
Yay.
At least I am. Mego is.
I am.
Are we going to let Arkan in on this interview if we decided?
We had to come up with something else for him to do.
Going to have to remove me.
Arkan, they
send
just,
him out to find a Tim Hortons.
I was just going to say, Arkan, they opened up a Tim Hortons around the corner.
Huh?
Go grab some Timbits. Yeah, 4:30. They're going to open. Grand opening. That's hour number three. Make sure you have the Odyssey app on your phone. That way you can listen live or right here on WEEI to our interview with Drake May. First Boston radio appearance he'll be making. Although, I say that, Gresham Fauria did have him at the draft. They got a brief one-on-one with him on draft night
last
week.
They were our boots on the ground.
That's true. So that's also available on the Odyssey app. Again, AUDACY. Free, easy, get it on your phone. No reason not to. Elliot Wolf was kind of truthful there, I think, but he's also omitting quite a bit. At pick 34, would Polk have been the guy? Probably. I believe that. But they were also trying to move up into the first round on Thursday night. He left that part of it out. So here's what Mike Reese wrote over the weekend. He said the Patriots had a trade offer on the table to the Bills late in the first round on Thursday night, according to a source. The Bills were at pick 32 after they had already traded back with Kansas City. But instead of dealing with their AFC East rival, the Patriots, for pick number 34, they chose Carolina's offer to slide back one spot to 33. Receivers Xavier Leggett and Keon Coleman were selected 32 and 33 before the Pats traded back from 34, so one can deduce the Pats either had Leggett or Coleman as their top target, or possibly both. My hunch is Leggett, writes Mike Reese. So a couple of things here. Number one, Buffalo wouldn't deal with you, but they deal with Kansas City?
Wasn't that the exact opposite that they were talking about with Stephon Diggs in free agency?
Thank you. So I was just going to bring up the Diggs example. It's like, oh, they'd never trade Stephon Diggs to the Patriots. Well, yeah, they traded him to Houston, who they're actually competing with in the conference.
The only team that they said absolutely was off the table was Kansas City.
Now they're trading with Kansas City on draft night, but they wouldn't trade with you? Please.
Well, the trade they got was a better pick, so, I mean, that makes sense, too.
Yeah, fair, but just I also don't say, oh, well, the Bills just didn't want to do business with the Patriots. What were they supposed to do? I don't know. Trade with San Francisco at 31.
Sure.
Or trade up to 30 or 29 or 20. Like, you didn't just have to talk to the Chiefs, Bills, at 32. Like, there were other teams and other places you could have moved to. And so you should have done that. If you truly valued Keon Coleman or Xavier Leggett, I like Coleman, not a fan of Leggett. Too much of a one-year flash-in-the-pan wonder guy. But whatever. If you liked him, you liked him. Go get him. Instead, they took Polk. So I believe when they moved back to 37, they said, what the hell? This is our guy. He'll probably be there. Let's take the extra pick. Fine. That was being truthful. The rest of it, I think, was omitting the actual story, which is that they liked other receivers more than Polk, and they whiffed. So what do you think of their roster? How much better are they than a year ago? Are they better than a year ago? You can vote at Jones and Mego on Twitter. You can also dial us up, 617-779-7937. Drake May is a part of that. Jalen Polk, Caden Wallace, the kid Javon Baker, who you'll hear from coming up, all part of it. Mego, we are with the 86% that feel like the Patriots are better than a year ago.
We are the majority.
Why do you feel that way?
Okay, the Super PAC presents this because if you're worse than you were last year, or if you're in the same place where you were last year with your offensive production, you are you're in hell, okay? Like, you're just in the innermost ring of hell. And I say that looking at the quarterback situation, where I personally really like the Drake May pick, even if he doesn't play 50% of the time. Even if he doesn't play for the majority of the season, I do believe that Jacoby Brissett is at least going to be a marginally better quarterback than Mac Jones is. Because if you look at the two's recent records, okay, last year, Mac Jones starts 11 games. And you look at 2 years ago, when Jacoby Brissett played 11 games for Cleveland, started 11 games, I should say, his numbers were better than Mac Jones's. And it's not like they're so much better. It's not like he completely blows him out of the water, but I still think your quarterback play is going to be better. And I think overall, like, your defense hopefully will be a little bit better, if not staying just as good as they were last year. I know your schedule's a little bit tougher, but overall in offense, I just think that you're going to be a more functional offense. I think it's going to be a more functional locker room. Yes, you're going to have to grow together with all these rookies and a lot of coaches who are stepping into roles for the first time. I just don't think it can be as bad as it was last year.
Arkan, why do you feel differently?
I don't think that you upgraded that much. I just don't think you really upgraded anything all that much. I'm just talking about the offense here, because the defense, we're all sort of admitting, is the same, and the draft was all offensive players.
No, they're just signing all the Bills guys.
They're bringing them all back, yeah,
including, I mean, Barmore today. They're
pretty
much just bringing back all the Bills. I thought Bills sucked at drafting,
right,
and couldn't find any talent. They're just retaining all the talent on that side of the ball. But on offense, you don't feel great about it?
On offense, I don't feel like much has really changed yet. And there may be some of these rookies who surprised me. Some of these rookie wideouts may be better than I think. I didn't think that there was really much chance of them protecting a rookie quarterback by just drafting guys in the second round. I think that that would have been a good opportunity to trade that pick. I also sort of like the idea of drafting a wide receiver, one of the premium guys up front. I don't think you got any difference makers. That's sort of the problem that I have with this. I don't know that you've gotten anybody in here now, either on the offensive line or either of the wide receivers, who are going to suddenly launch themselves up ahead beyond Kendrick Bourne and Pop Douglas and some of these other guys in their first year. And with a rookie quarterback throwing to them, I just think you're sort of starting over. That's what it feels like. It feels like you're starting over.
Just explain the Pop Douglas part, because Pop Douglas was a rookie and he was a later pick than these guys, and he was fine in his rookie year.
And he might get a little bit better.
Why wouldn't these guys be better?
He might get better next year too. Pop Douglas may have a better follow-up season.
But I'm saying, if Pop Douglas could contribute to a bad wide receiver room last year as a sixth round pick or whatever he was, why can't a second round pick contribute this year?
Well, they can, but that doesn't make him better. Right? I mean, if they have another, I don't think this team is like another,
I just don't think there's a lot in front of them, is my point.
Fine.
Like if Pop Douglas has
like 600 yards. Like that, yeah. I don't think this team was another 600-yard rookie wide receiver away from being really good competing for a playoff team like that. I feel like they're sort of just, at best, spinning their wheels a little bit. And that's to start something and to build something new and to build it up from here. So, you know, you got to start somewhere, but that's what it seems like they're doing. This seems like a rebuild. It seems like a tear down and a rebuild, and I don't know that it's necessarily better than what you had last year.
So you think at best they've just poured cement and they're like, here we go.
Kind of,
we're not
yeah.
putting anything up yet.
Yeah.
Just the foundation.
Sort of, yeah. Okay. And I'm not even sure how sold I am on that.
Okay, look, I like that they address needs. I don't mind drafting for need. I wish they were a little more aggressive. If they really like these receivers, Keon Coleman or Xavier Legette, as we were just discussing, they should have gone and gotten them. So that I don't love, and I don't care that they waited until the third round to get a tackle. They got a tackle. Maybe he's a left tackle, maybe he's not. Maybe they play the kid from Pittsburgh at left tackle, maybe Onwenu moves over to left tackle. Maybe this guy's the answer. They'll figure it out. I was okay with the tackle in the third round. So, to me, I wanted quarterback, I wanted receiver. Not my favorite receiver at 37, but fine. They're better than last year, assuming Drake May plays. And I am of the belief he's going to play week one. He's not going to lose a quarterback competition to Jacoby Brissett. He's going to be out there. If he's out there, they're better. And I think he will be. If it's Jacoby Brissett, there's no functional difference from last year's team. Like, maybe Brissett is slightly better than Mac Jones. Maybe he's basically the same. If it's Jacoby Brissett week one, or for any meaningful amount of time, you're no better off. But if it's Drake May, you will be.
So on that point, I say this noting that Jerod Mayo has spent the better part of the last 3 months walking back his burnsome cash comment. But the way that he talks about evaluating the quarterback position as the head coach he doubled down on it with the Greg Hill show this morning, saying it's a competition. It's a competition. It's a competition. I think if you intend to sit the quarterback for the entire year or the majority of the year in Drake May,
I agree.
Then you don't set it up as it's a competition.
They'd be putting it out there.
And he lost it in camp. I think that that would be a really bad look. So, again, I say that knowing that Jerod Mayo has been walking back a comment he made. But he's doubled down on this and said it over and over and over again.
Also, listen to how they talk about Brissett. Listen to how they talk about May. I agree with you. But listen to how they talk about Brissett. He's like a sounding board. He's the guy who's going to handhold. So I don't think they want to tell you it's May's job. But I think right now, if they were going to start somebody, it'd be Drake May. That's what I would do. Meanwhile, you mentioned Jerod Mayo. Here's what he had to say about the rookie class of wide receivers they brought in. Polk in the second round, Javon Baker in the fourth.
Curious about the receivers that you took over the course of the last couple days.
Yeah, you know, I'll start with Polk. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, before we even get to the main responsibility of a receiver as far as get open, catch the ball, and run with it, you know, he's one of those guys that isn't afraid to do the dirty work. And when we talk about the dirty work, obviously we have a good set of backs. But sometimes you need those receivers to come in there and kind of dig out support. And he does that at a very high level. Now, let's get to the meat and potatoes of Polk. Like, he's one of those guys who, you know, smooth route runner, has good hands, could do a lot of different things, and he's smart. And that's the one thing that we covet around here. He's flexible, can play in different spots. And I'm excited to really see him out there. And then really, you know, when you talk about Javon, look, you talk about, you know, run after catch. Right, the run after catch, this guy is aggressive. And I would say, you know, Bake is all about, you know, he's all ball. He's all ball, which I can appreciate. And you can see the passion come through when you watch him on film. So two guys that, you know, obviously have different skill sets, but at the same time will help our team going forward.
And how are they going to mesh with Drake May, who joins us again about 20 minutes from now here on Jones and Mego, first Boston radio appearance. So make sure you're locked in on that. One more item from Reese before we get to your phone calls. He says an AFC personnel source opined that Polk's grade among teams likely varied with more volatility than other receivers based on how teams viewed the stiffness in his route running and lack of consistent separation.
I kind of hate that first part.
I don't like hearing that. And I just to piggyback off what Mayo said, I don't like that Mayo led with like, these guys will block and get dirty in the run game.
Great.
I'm like, oi.
No block, no rock.
His toughness, competitiveness, and ball skills are excellent, the source said. Additionally, the Patriots had what they felt was unique insight as receivers coach Tyler Hughes spent last year on Washington staff. Mego doesn't like that. She talked about it earlier today.
It's just a little bit of a flag to me.
Right. They knew him, so they drafted him.
Not
that
like
sounds
a
like Bill.
Full red flag. It's like a pink flag.
Yeah. Is this something you didn't love about the pick? I agree with you on that. I think it's a fair take.
That could be another word for chick wipes.
Steve is in the car. You like the roster, Steve?
I do. First of all, I like the fact that Mac Jones is gone. All the bad feelings.
I agree with that.
Push them away. And I'm glad Belichick is gone. You got a new coach. You got Drake May. You got Jacoby Brissett, who is, in my estimation, a very good quarterback. Underrated. And you also have Bailey Zappi in the background.
Well, not for much longer, Steve. So now we're just listing the roster. But I don't think Zappi's going to be here much longer. And that's fine. Like, I don't hate the Joe Milton pick. I like the Joe Milton pick.
Oh, see, it bums me out because we could have Drake May and Bailey Zappi going to Bass Pro Shops together.
Yeah. Maybe they'll keep four guys. Or maybe they cut
they
Joe Milton.
They jump in the big fish tank together, swim around doggy paddle style.
Maybe they keep four guys. Maybe they cut Joe Milton and he you know, he's on their practice squad or something like that. I have no idea. But I think Zappi's probably gone. Maybe they can get something for him. Maybe not. But whatever. Upgrade your quarterback room. Good. It needed an upgrade. And I don't mind the Joe Milton pick. I actually like it. You know, it's a sixth-round developmental quarterback. If he works out, great. If he doesn't, cut him and move on to the next guy. So, look, it does feel like a bit of a fresh start. Like, no more Bill, no more Mac, clean slate. But you have to actually follow through and play Drake May. It can't be Jacoby Brissett next year in a four-win team. Because I think any of the feelings about a clean slate and, like, positive momentum, that'll be gone real quick if you start losing games every weekend.
Yeah, I don't have as big of a problem as playing some Jacoby Brissett as you do. But that's just my personal opinion.
Okay. We'll be talking to Drake May again at 4:30 here on WEEI. You can tune in for that. You can also dial us up, 617-779-7937. Patriots with a big extension today for Christian Barmore. Arcan with details on that here in Trending. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Drake May. We'll also get more into the coaching staff and their ability to impact these young players. That's next.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The critics have spoken.
It's as if you took a float from a Macy's Day Parade and you beheaded them, and it's two clowns.
Jones and Mako.
One looks extremely upset, and the other one looks intrigued.
On WEEI.
I'm curious what the benefit of having all those people in there. You know, I think we saw a picture after the Drake May pick. It looked like there were a couple dozen people in there. What's the benefit of having that group in there?
Yeah, the benefit is that we've all had different exposures to that individual. And so even when we bring people in on their 30 visits, they meet with everyone, not just coaches, not just scouts. They meet with Nancy Meyer. They meet with the people in the lunchroom. They meet with, you know, the strength and conditioning coach. And then you try to consolidate all those opinions and really try to figure out who this guy really is. And I thought it was great. And obviously, you know, picking at three, hopefully we never have to pick at three again. People were excited to be in the room and see it come to fruition.
Whether it's that for that pick or another one, though, are that many people chiming in leading up to that moment?
No.
You try to synthesize all that stuff.
Yeah, not at all. Look, you bring in the scout that's you know, watched him over the course of his college career. You want the coordinators in there. They were in there for every single pick. And then sometimes you bring in position coaches who also have a different opinion. But the rest of those guys, they type up their reports. Boom, that's what it is, and we go. So the conversation, once you get to the conversation piece to it, or the, you know, you're five picks away, now it's like, all right, let's shrink this down and really get to who we want. Let's select who we all see as a good player.
I think that's how most of the Patriots picks went. I don't think that's how the number three pick went. And speaking of the number three pick, he'll be joining us 10 minutes from now here on Jones and Mego with Arkin on WEEI. Drake May, the newest New England Patriot, at 4:30, scheduled to join. Hopefully he's prompt. Stay tuned for that. It'll come your way momentarily. If you're listening out there here on WEEI, one way to consume it, you can also download the Audacy app, AUDACY. Free, easy, get it on your phone. You can listen to that interview. You can listen to Jerod Mayo from earlier today on with the Greg Hill Show. Just use the rewind feature to listen to that. I don't think Drake May was super collaborative at number three. I still think ownership had a hand in that. Mayo was uncomfortable when he was on the NFL Network and asked about it during draft coverage. They asked him about that in the full interview with Greg this morning. Ownership and
not
their influence, the collaboration.
Recall?
So
not that I can recall.
He was uncomfortable talking about it. He was uncomfortable about the burning some cash as well, which I think ties into ownership and how much say they have. I don't get why they're so sensitive to it, but they are.
And so they're going to deny they had a hand in it. I think they did. We may never know the answer other than Wickersham reports and arrows pointing to it. Elliot Wolf, his contract status, things of that nature. But that's my belief, and I'll continue to believe it. I don't think that pick was super collaborative.
I hear you. Look, with that pick, it seemed to me like the biggest decision was going to be, are you going to stick and pick at three, or are you going to trade back and go the J.J. McCarthy route? And I think a lot of the availabilities that you've heard with these guys, Elliot Wolf with Jerron Mayo since then, have kind of detailed that, played that out. And so to me, it's like, okay, ownership probably indicated, and it's obvious, it's not like ownership had to, that, hey, need a quarterback, need a first-round quarterback. And then it comes down to the people in the room to sit down and decide, are we maybe taking a big risk on Drake May, or are we going with a similar style of Mac Jones with the coming out of a pro-college program type thing with J.J. McCarthy, and they decide to go with Drake May, which I think is the right choice.
So I do, too. And the question now is how you develop him and how do you get him ready for week one if he's going to play week one? I think he will. I think he should. And those are two separate thoughts. But I do believe that. Again, 86% of you think the roster is better than a year ago. Mego and I are in that camp. 14% are with Arkin saying no in our big question of the day up now. Add Jones and Mego. But how you develop him for week one or whenever he's going to play is important. And people around the league are looking at it. So Mike Reese wrote over the weekend in his Sunday notes, the QB plan. He says, now the Patriots have Drake May, a high-ranking executive from an NFL team opined, arguably the most important thing for them to do is clarify the roles of the coaches in his development. The Patriots have offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt, 1. Quarterbacks coach T.C. McCartney, 2. Senior assistant Ben McAdoo, 3. And former assistant quarterbacks coach Evan Rothstein, who I had no idea was still on staff.
I'll never look at him the same way again.
So all 4 of them are in there.
Benedict Arnold Rothstein.
Is there anybody else who's like potentially in his ear? Mego, you brought up maybe a personal coach. The thought is that too many voices in May's ear.
Jacoby Brissett.
Given his limited playing experience, that's a good one actually. 26 career starts and youth, 21 years old, could be counterproductive. So add Brissett, add his personal throwing coach. You know, add his mom and dad and his brothers and everything else.
You got a stew going.
You know, that's the camp. That was problematic with Mac. Too many voices, too many people in his ear. And will that be an issue again? I hope not, because I generally think that was as much about Mac as everything else around him. I think that was a Mac problem. And so let's see if this kid is better at that. Let's see if the Patriots learn from that. But that's what the rest of the league is watching for. Again, a high-ranking executive within the league passed that along to Mike Reese. Are they going to have the right person in his ear? Who do you think that is?
I think it's Alex Van Pelt. I really do, because otherwise I'm not really sure why you brought him here, because he is a quarterback's guy. He doesn't call plays. I think he called plays, what, in 2 different games in his entire career?
Correct. One was a playoff game, yep.
And so, yeah. That to me, it's not like you're bringing him in for that. Now, maybe he'll do that, but he's a quarterback's guy. And you can look over his resume and say, well, any success that he's had is really about the specific quarterback that he's working with Aaron Rodgers. But either way, he has the most responsibility. He has the most experience. I think if you have somebody who you want Drake May to be attached at the hip with throughout his development, that's the guy that I would look at out of all these guys.
You don't want Van Pelt to call plays?
I'm not saying that. I said he could call plays and he could do this.
I thought you were saying he would do one or the other.
No, but I'm saying you didn't bring him in because you think he's such an excellent play caller. He hasn't shown himself that way.
I know, but
you bring him in because he's a quarterback whisperer.
But somebody has to call plays, right? Mm-hmm. And so my guess is Van Pelt is going to be focused on that, and they're going to source this out to McCartney or Ben McAdoo or something like that. I mean, that's my guess. Or maybe McAdoo's here to aid in the play calling because Van Pelt is going to be very hung up on bringing along a young quarterback. That's possible, but streamlining that I think is important. However, I don't want to overstate it. If the kid can play, then I think they'll be able to sort that out. I don't think the coaching for him is going to matter all that much if he can play. I think that was a big problem with Mac Jones. Who do you think the guy is, Arkin?
I think it's probably Van Pelt too. I think someone like McAdoo, who was a head coach at one point and who brought a quarterback along and certainly was, took a lot of credit for all of that and the way that that all worked when you saw the things turn over there in New York. I mean, that was something that you looked at with McAdoo, and he was like, yeah, hey, look at this great season I got. And he was promoted from offensive coordinator to head coach, and it was a long time ago, and it didn't work out for him, that's for sure. But he did have a modicum of success with it, more so than Van Pelt, I would say, in doing a bigger role. So I think that there's a chance that you might hear from him. But will he have the main ear of
Drake May or, you know, whoever it is, I'd say no.
Yeah.
I'd say it's got to be Van Pelt.
It's just, again, when I look at the coaching staff, it doesn't feel like the greatest place for a young quarterback. And neither does the roster. And so those are now two things they just committed to that he's going to have to overcome. And there's a lot on his shoulders. But if he's talented and he's an upper crust quarterback, then I think you're going to be good enough to overcome
all
that
stuff. Well, who do you think it's going to be?
I think it's probably going to be McCartney.
Yeah, really?
It's a quarterback's coach. I think the quarterback's coach is probably going to be the most hands-on with the young quarterback, would be my guess. Van Pelt has never called plays before, as you said, outside of a couple of games. He's going to be running the whole offense. I think he's got bigger things to worry about than just the quarterback. Maybe I have that wrong. A bunch of texts, 37937, as we await Drake May. Patriots quarterback should be calling in here any moment. What if the Patriots valued McConkey and Polk the same, and they knew one of the two would be there at 37? So you may as well move up in the later rounds and move back to 37 and get the guy you were going to get anyway at 34. That's Dice texting that in. That's fine. I think once you got to day two, that logic is sound. That's what Elliott Wolf was saying. If you were going to get your guy anyway at 34, you risk missing out on him. Somebody could scoop you. But you feel pretty good about getting him at 37, fine. I'm okay with that logic. The problem is they tried to trade up to get somebody else in the first round, and they didn't. That's my criticism of it. That's where I think they screwed it up.
See, I also wonder, I think the interesting part of that point from the texter was, like, I don't know if he said valuation or graded out, but if they graded out the same, like, my question is looking at it going, okay, did they actually grade out the same? They revamped this whole grading system with the draft process,
right,
when Elliott Wolf took it over, and then just coincidentally, Hughes, who was his coach at Washington, Polk's coach at Washington, is the one who decided to, like, make the call on this. I don't know. It just seems a little too cute. It seems a little too coincidental for me to go, oh, no, that's exactly the grade guy that they wanted.
Well,
there.
And McConkey went 34, right? They
yes.
traded out, and so McConkey
he went to the
Chargers, so like that
yeah.
that's the one you're really going to look at. It's like, mm-hmm. if they like Keon Coleman and they like Xavier Legette, we're going to look at all that and say, okay, how did those guys do?
Fine,
we'll definitely hold
got,
that against
you got
them.
Got boxed out, like, right? That happens. Yeah.
But the guy who went at your actual pick and you move back, if McConkey is better than Jalen Polk, I think it's more than fair to look at that and question that, because going into the draft process, I think most of the prognosticators, the quote unquote draft experts, felt better about McConkey than they did about Polk. I'm not telling you Polk can't play, just that they felt strongly about someone there in the first round. They should have gone and gotten them.
Yeah,
that's
I agree. And you're also looking at a run. I mean, that was a run of wide receivers that started in the first round and ended at the beginning of the second round, and then there was a space there, and then you got Polk. So, like, to trade out of that in the middle of a run of wide receivers was kind of a bold move, you know? Like, you might have ended up with nobody, and I don't know if they liked A.D. Mitchell. It doesn't seem like they did, and he didn't get picked for, like, 20 picks after that, so maybe I was
seems
higher
like
on him than most people
way.
Were. But, yeah, but it sort of seems like if
well,
you were...
You see Ballard, the GM in Indy, like, get very defensive about why A.D. Mitchell fell because of, like, character concerns or personality concerns or however it was
put. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, and so he was very fiery about that and kind of shot that down. But, yeah, you're right. A.D. Mitchell didn't go until, like, the 50s. We actually got that exact text. I know you like Mitchell, Arcan.
I liked him, yeah.
What if they took Mitchell instead of Polk?
I think I'd have been fine with that, yeah. But, I mean, listen, clearly there was some sort of question about him because he didn't go for a long time after that, and that was a run of wide receivers. So, I mean, if there's a run at a position, especially at a time like that in the draft where there's sort of a gap between when you want to pick there again, it was very bold to trade out of the bottom of that and still end up with somebody. So I feel like they traded out and ended up with who fell to them, and that's kind of what they did with the quarterback in a way. It's without the trade.
A couple more texts here. For pick 37, you could have gotten a better wide receiver in a trade. I'll piggyback that with this. Bookmark this text, guys. A.J. Brown will be a Patriot before the year starts.
Let me write that
down.
So A.J. Brown,
who
was just extended
yes.
for a very lucrative contract.
I want to let the texter know, and maybe anybody out there who maybe missed this news late last week, A.J. Brown did sign an extension with the Eagles.
Really bum me out.
But, okay, let's play out the idea of trading for a receiver. Mm-hmm. The draft came and went. Deebo Samuel didn't move. Brandon Ayuk didn't move. Never mind Justin Jefferson and Devontae Adams, T. Higgins, some of the other names we've talked about. Is that dream dead, the idea of trading for a receiver?
I think mostly, but I will still wish cast. I mean, it's a dream is what I'd say. Like, at this point, it doesn't feel like part of the plan for your roster. It feels like a dream and a reach, and maybe something falls into your lap, and then you better just pony up with the money.
It feels dead, would be my estimation. Now that the draft is gone.
I don't think it was ever alive, honestly.
Well, okay, and so that's probably most
they
fair.
They started saber-rattling about it because they were embarrassed by Keenan Allen. I don't think this was ever something that was realistically going to happen.
And you're talking about just calling on Deebo Samuel.
I'm talking about
putting that out there that they
trade,
called.
Doing something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think if a trade was going to happen, and I would say this largely about receivers moving around the league for the Patriots or anywhere else, I would say that. But to me, that feels like it came and went on draft night, which is very exciting for Patriots fans, mainly because of who was selected at pick number 3. And joining us right now on Jones and Mego with Arkin here on WEEI for the first time, Patriots quarterback Drake May. Drake, how are we doing? Welcome to New England.
Hey, Drake.
What's going on, Adam? What's going on, man? Y'all doing all right? Thanks for having me on. Yeah, just got back home a couple days ago over the weekend for my visit there up there in Foxborough. Had a good time up there and just glad to get going here in a few weeks.
Okay, so maybe you just answered what I was about to ask, but I wanted to know if you were already back in North Carolina or if you were going to maybe be here to take in like a playoff game in Boston. You were drafted Thursday. You were at Gillette on Friday. You're now back home. What have the last few days been like for you, that whole experience?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I think, that draft night is something I always remember. And then getting there to Foxborough, getting to meet the coaches in the front office and see everybody around the organization was sweet. Something that was awesome to have my brothers and my girlfriend tag along as well. They were nice to do that. So, maybe stay tuned for something to come up there. And obviously, you got the Bruins in the playoffs and the Celtics. So stay tuned for possibly something. But, back home now and just getting ready for community camp, getting ready for off-season program. So got to get ready to play some football now.
Welcome to New England, Drake. I'm wondering, now that you've walked around Gillette Stadium, it seems like a couple times, there's a little video that came out of you seeing your new locker in the locker room. What about the facilities in Gillette Stadium itself jumped out to you in your first couple visits?
I think just Gillette Stadium, seeing it for the first time, obviously with your name up there on the billboard, that new billboard Mr. Kraft was talking about, he says one of the biggest in the whole world, I think you mentioned about our stadiums. That's pretty sweet. Just seeing that and seeing all the upgrades they did to the stadium, and not only I think the best thing about kind of Gillette is how close the facility is. It's really Mr. Kraft talked about, it's owned by him, so having the facility with the stadium right next door, kind of everything you need in one spot is awesome. I think it's great for players and great for me to get some work, extra work, and be there for practice and for games. It's all right there. It's kind of one of the coolest things.
All right, Drake, I know we're a long way off from knowing the answer to this maybe, but do you want to start day one? And have you had any conversations about what your track is going to be towards doing that in the in minicamp or beyond that?
I think that's obviously the goal, for myself and any rookie quarterback coming to the NFL, but also, I think it's great opportunity for getting there and learn from Jacoby, learn from the older guys, the other vets around there, and just put my best foot forward. I think, for me, just want to earn the respect of the guys and get to know them first. But obviously all the stuff on the field will come after that. So looking forward to help the Patriots anyway. Obviously, it's the goal, but ready for anything that happens. And I think, one of the best things about being a 21-year-old coming in there is, get ready to learn and to soak it all in. And, if I'm the best guy, I think Coach Mayo's kind of said that. He said that publicly, if the best guy's going to play. So if it happens to me, I'm ready to go. When it's not, I'm going to prepare like it and compete and learn as much as I can from the other guys to get ready to do that.
You mentioned getting to know your teammates. Have you made any plans to start throwing with any of your wide receivers or tight ends, anything like that?
Yeah, just talking with Jalen and Javon, and I was just, FaceTiming, Jaheim. So, I've gotten a bunch of guys. I've got to know them. Texted them all, reached out. So I think the biggest thing is get going for rookie minicamp. Sure, we got to get going. I say one of the best things about it, kind of bringing us in before, is kind of getting us all together and creating relationships and getting to know each other before we all kind of get mingled in with the whole squad. So definitely looking forward to meeting those guys and other great players. So definitely looking forward to throwing with them and seeing what it's like.
So you mentioned getting relationships with some of these players. You had a prior relationship with Javon Baker, right?
Yeah. So he was committed to Alabama. When I was committed there, he was a year ahead of me, but obviously, saw him at some of the camps. Got to know him, played him in 7-on-7 in high school football. So he was a big time recruit from Atlanta. So got to know Javon pretty well.
So why did you initially commit to Alabama, and why did you end up decommitting and committing to North Carolina?
Yeah, so Coach Saban sitting in his office when I was a sophomore in high school. Anytime that he says, Drake, you're our guy, we want you to be our guy, pretty hard to turn that down. And at that time, North Carolina was kind of in the rough years, kind of latter years of 2017, 2018 was some rough years for North Carolina football. So, Alabama's hard to turn down that. But once Coach Brown came back and I saw one of my good friends, Sam Howell, go there his freshman year and light it up, I really just didn't want to miss out on that. I think Alabama, would have, I think either way could have probably turned out well, but also Bryce at the same time. So I think I'm end up making the right decision of going to North Carolina. And both my parents, went there and had brothers go there. So it's the kind of whole, family lineage is hard to pass that up.
Drake, you spoke about Jacoby Brissett just a couple minutes ago. Joe Milton also anticipated to be part of your quarterback room. As a rookie coming in, how do you see yourself fitting into that room? And I guess, a rising tide lifts all boats, but how do you feel like you would like the dynamic in that quarterback room to be with somebody in your own class and then a vet like Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, I think, just me and Jacoby. I think me and Joe come in there ready to compete. We have to know Joe well through, some of the Manning camp and, at the combine. So, Joe's the man. I'm a big fan of Joe. And I look forward to, to compete with each other. The biggest thing, make a competitive room and energy, high energy. I think we all bring that kind of, big personalities, all three of us. So ready to kind of showcase that, see how the room shapes out, and just have fun in there. The best thing about quarterbacks is, we keep it light. And once we're on the field, man, we're competitors. So that's kind of, I think we all three of us can share.
Drake, I was wondering, since the Patriots drafted so many offensive players, and since you're going to be, we think anyway, a big part of the offense, after you were drafted for the day two and day three guys, did anybody talk to you about any of the picks that were coming up or sort of get your perspective on some of these guys since maybe you played against them?
Yeah, they were they were kind of keying me in on they were thinking before they selected them. So I think, as a rookie quarterback, you don't expect to have much say. So, I think, obviously, all the players selected, we sort of laid in and, Shuke, and I think, all those guys, watching their film, check out their tape. After you draft them, you always want to go check out their tape. Just great picks. I reached out to both of them. So just try to reach out to everybody, and obviously played against, myself from South Carolina. So, I got to know a lot of these guys, like you said. So, they get paid a lot of money and as GM and, long time, doing this stuff. I think, way, in my opinion, wouldn't mean much. So, I think, just trusting them and ready to get to work with anybody.
Talking to Drake May, Patriots quarterback, joining us here on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI. You're good friends with former teammate Sam Howell. You just mentioned his name. I also read your family friends with Mason Rudolph. Is that right?
Yeah. So his dad and my dad roomed in college together and played football in North Carolina together.
So what have they told you specifically about making that transition to the next level?
Yeah, I think, Mason and Sam, the biggest thing is just be myself. They've been great with that. And just come in there and it's just the beginning mindset. You got a lot of work to do, and, it doesn't come easy. It's a tough league. It's tough to, have success in this league. So just put the work in and, like I said, just be myself and learn from the older guys. They've been great, two guys, two quarterbacks that shared the same position from the same area I grew up in. So a lot of contact with them and, a lot of, questions I could ask them, a lot of advice that they've given me on just being myself, go in there and be ready, to learn and grow, and just come in there and at the end of the day, find time away from football, whether it's, people to hang out with, you're kind of your inner circle, or just, external activities that get your mind off it, because there's so much, there's so much time and how long the season is of getting your mind off it and enjoying something, outside of football to get your mind away from it.
Drake, it sounded earlier like you hinted that you might be coming back here for a playoff game. Both teams in the playoffs here in New England right now. Are you more of a hockey guy or a basketball guy when it comes to being a fan?
I'm a big basketball, nice. Big basketball fan. But actually, I've kind of gotten. I went to these, going to college at Chapel Hill. Raleigh's right down the road, so kind of the Hurricanes. I kind of got to see some of their games, and hockey's a great sport. So I kind of gotten. I've been a huge basketball fan, but hockey's kind of growing on my list. So I think it'd be great to get a chance out to either Bruins game or Celtics. So
maybe courtside. Somebody who has courtside seats,
Yeah, that'd be sweet. I think sitting courtside at basketball games is one of the best things. So I hope that I find a way. We'll see. But I like to compare myself as off-brand Jason Tatum in my basketball comparison. So
nice.
Getting to meet him and some of the guys will be pretty sweet.
Well, hopefully you hit more shots at the end of games. I was watching an old feature of you on College Game Day, and this includes your brothers in there. You mentioned Big Hoops family, your brother Luke, playing professionally in Japan, if I'm not mistaken. But I watched this this feature, and your mother in the Game Day feature said that the competition between the brothers is a good thing, but that it can, quote-unquote, get out of hand. Do you have any examples of it getting out of hand with the May brothers in your youth?
Yeah, I got an example. My brother Bo, It was during football season in high school. He was a senior. I was a junior. And we were playing two-on-two basketball in the driveway one weekend, probably after one of my games on a Friday night. And we were playing basketball. And Bo, he got knocked down, to say the least, by my oldest brother, Luke, and ended up breaking both his elbows at the same time. But only had to wear a cast. Only had to wear a sling on one of them. So he was a senior. Senior in high school, and had to navigate that. So I think after that, that was kind of the last straw of physicality things. from there, now we keep it in pickleball and golf. But, my brother took a bad fall. And I just thank the Lord it wasn't me during football season.
Okay, so no broken bone. You didn't have any broken bones from the brothers growing up?
Yeah, I've been fortunate. Knock on wood, I've been fortunate not to have any injuries yet. But I'm sure if we did something, it'd come because none of us want to lose.
Okay. Well, Drake May, we're very excited to talk to you here all football season on WEEI. I'll tell you, my mother-in-law is also very excited. She's very excited about this specific interview. They live in Belmont, so they live in the Charlotte area. So I know that you're a big story down there right now after being a very high draft pick. So she's very excited as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, Belmont's right down the road, probably about 45 minutes from my hometown. So I know the Charlotte area has been great, and great supporters of me. So just happy to be from a hometown that's loves sports.
Okay, maybe we're hanging out this summer. All right, Drake May, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Go Pats. Thank y'all for having me on.
Thank you, Drake.
Drake May, as all our guests, joins us here on WEEI. My mother-in-law has been blowing up my phone, like nonstop.
Well, I'm sure that you put his mind at ease that he has your mother-in-law's stamp of approval.
So I wonder, she's been saying, hey.
She was like, you better mention me in this interview.
No, she's like, good. Yeah, very excited about this interview today. She's like, he's from Charlotte. Very, very nice area where he's from in Charlotte. I'm like, oh, that's very nice, Jane.
By the way, his brother's names are Bo and Luke.
Correct.
Really?
I think there's
the Duke boys.
Oh, is it?
Oh,
the Duke's Bastards were Bo and Luke.
Fourier is already calling them the Duke boys.
Okay.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
I didn't know that was their names until right now.
That's offensive because they're a UNC family.
That is true. Yeah. So I will say this. This is like people have made analogies to like the Gronk brothers before with these May boys. And I remember a story from Gronk when he first got drafted that was not all that dissimilar to this, where they were just like beating the crap out of each other and breaking bones and breaking arms. And It's like, it is that level. So his brother broke both arms?
Both elbows.
Both elbows.
Both elbows, excuse me, but he only needed one sling?
That's crazy.
Boys will be boys.
Imagine walking around both your elbows and casts.
I already feel pretty good. I feel even better after talking to him, I got to be honest. That wasn't like pulling teeth with Mac Jones.
No, he hasn't spent a whole lot of time with Patriots communications yet, but maybe it's a new era down there and everyone's allowed to be themselves.
Max seemed like he'd been much more coached up on what to say to people like us than maybe Mac.
Well, he came from Alabama.
Right. Yeah.
Look, and I listened to Mac on draft night. Like, these clips were making the rounds the other day. Mac was like that, like, on draft night. Yeah. It wasn't even like the Patriots had gotten to him yet. That's how Mac was. He was much more guarded. And so, good. Refreshing. Hopefully my mother-in-law is happy.
Mac will tell you what.
Jason Tatum.
Drake will tell you what music he likes. Mac will say music is a fun thing that people like to do, but Drake will tell you a musician that he actually.
We should have asked. So we got a lot of texts in here or suggestions in the Twitch chat about different questions we could ask. Like Bojangles or Zaxby's, things like that. We can ease into those over the course of the year, but a lot of good suggestions in the Twitch chat. All right, that was Drake May. If you missed any of it, Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Use the rewind feature if you missed it. We'll get into that, and we have Triple Play next.
It's gonna be a triple.
It's time for the Triple Play.
Yes! Triple Play!
The top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three!
With Jones and Mego.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triples is best. I don't live in a hotel and visit the 99 the day after the Red Sox win, and 99 Rewards members get a free kids meal with every adult entree purchase. The 99 Restaurant, the official family restaurant of the Boston Red Sox. It's Monday, Jones and Mego. That makes it a buy or sell Monday, so let's start buying and selling.
Number one.
Mego, we start with you. Buy or sell that the Celtics, who are playing tonight, are still the scariest team in the playoffs, East or West?
They're definitely the scariest team in the East. I'm still more scared of Denver. They're up 3-0 on the Lakers. Overall, the West continues to look even scarier and scarier to me because all the teams that I was already afraid of are all either sweeping the team, like have just swept the Suns, or they're in the process of sweeping the teams that they're seeing out there, and you couldn't do that. And so, yeah, I'm more scared of Denver than I am if I was a complete outsider looking at Boston.
I looked last night. I had a bonus bet burning a hole in my pocket that expired at like 2 in the morning. And so I was looking. I was like, well, maybe I'll plunk down on a future. What are the Celtics to win the title? They were like plus 125. It's something absurd. And they're like minus money to make the finals. My answer is yes, they're the scariest team left. Of course they're the scariest team left. They've been the best team all year. Doesn't mean they're going to win it. Doesn't mean they're actually going to finish it off and bring home the banner. But they should. They absolutely should. They're the best team. They're the scariest team. True.
For me, it's the Timberwolves. They handled Kevin Durant and Devin Booker easier than you're handling Tyler Hero. So I'd say that they're a little scarier. All right, let's get to our second buy or sell.
Number two.
All right, Jones, this is for you. Buy or sell that Tanner Houck will finish top five in American League Cy Young voting this year.
I sell it, but I'm starting to think that we need to buy in on the Red Sox rotation. And by the way, they're going to have a winning month. I think I did the math earlier today. Fact check me here. Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I think it's 89 wins.
Yeah.
Is what they're on pace for. And so, good month for the Red Sox. Better than most people felt they were going to have to start the year. And I think you can start to believe in this pitching staff. I don't think Tanner Houck's going to be top five in the Cy Young. I'm not ready to go that far with it. But
he's top three in like most of the stats.
No, right I now. Understand. But yeah. Like that I might write off after a month. The way the whole pitching staff has been, I saw you retweet Buster Olney last night, Arcand. The stat was something like it's their lowest ERA since like 1920.
Since the dead ball era.
No, yeah. I'm being dead serious. I'll find it. I saw this last night. It was
from Elias Sports. Red Sox shutout yesterday lowered their team ERA, and this was from Sunday because the shutout was 17-0. But the shutout yesterday lowered the team ERA to 2.63 over their 28 games this season, the lowest ERA in more than 100 years.
So I might buy that. I'm not buying Tanner Houck's top five Cy Young, but I've been very wrong about their rotation so far.
See, I'm actually going the other way. I buy Tanner Houck. I don't know that I buy that the entire rotation can keep this up for the entire year, but I think Tanner Houck can. Through six games, a 1.6 ERA. Like, he's been amazing. So, hopefully he just stays healthy. I think he could finish in the top five. I think.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
On ESPN's player rating by pitchers right now, he's fourth. He's right between Glasnow and Seth Lugo. So, hopefully he stays up there.
And those are National League pitchers in that case. So, yeah. Right. Isn't Glass? Where's Lugo? Glasnow is with the Dodgers, isn't he?
I'm just saying where he's ranking in MLB.
Lugo's with Kansas City.
Got it. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Right. Oh, yeah, right. They wanted to sign him, and the Royals ended up paying him more money.
Right. All right. Let's get to buy or sell number three.
Number three.
Mego, back to you. Buy or sell that all sports, like the NHL, should have mandatory post-game handshakes at the conclusion of playoff series, as we saw with, who'd we see it with? The Islanders, right? Did they get eliminated?
The Capitals. It was the Rangers and the Caps, yeah.
Yes, so buy or sell, everyone should do this.
Absolutely sell. This is so dumb. They made us do this in college, and it was incredibly stupid to the point where everybody would be in such a bad mood after a loss or something, and it would just not be very respectful. So then they made us start doing it before the game instead. We had to go shake hands before the game, in NCAA lacrosse.
Did you see the handshake line? People kept forwarding me this, because this is a take that lives on for me. Like, anytime there are handshakes, I just get a bunch of tweets about it. And so I got a bunch of them.
I get some of those.
But there was there one going on in the Calder Cup? It was like...
Yes, and there was a fight during the
but was handshake. That new, or was that like an old video?
I thought that was from this year's playoff.
Okay, yeah. So like people were like, that's a handshake line. People fighting, and like the announcer's like... This is a travesty. Get him out of here. This is supposed to be beautiful. It's a great tradition. It's the stupidest tradition ever. The dumb handshake line. No, they shouldn't do it. It's not Little League baseball. It's not my kids' youth soccer league where they eat frozen grapes after. No, it's a professional sporting event. The fact they forced them to shake each other's hand, and the fact that I have to hear grown men prattle on and on about how great of a tradition it is, and oh, look at them, they just competed and now they shake one another's hands. That's competition. That's what makes sports great. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Good
and they
game.
Thank God I don't have to listen to Doc Emrick talk about it ad nauseum for a half an hour after every series in the playoffs anymore.
I need to issue a correction. A closet Laker fan in Christian Fourier just texted me that that Denver did in fact drop one game to the Lakers.
Oh yeah, it was 3-1. I missed you say that, but it is 3-1.
I said either you have swept or you're on your way to sweeping. Technically not there, but
no
I still
handshakes
still find,
for you.
Still find Denver the scariest team.
No, I saw there's these killer whales.
No handshake line for Mego after the game. That's not what we're going to be doing. Anyways, that's Triple Play each and every day at this time. You can listen here on Jones and Mego. You also were listening earlier to Drake May.
If you missed.
if you missed any of that, Odyssey app. I do agree with one of the tweets that we got earlier today. If nothing else, we know he already interviews better than Mac Jones. That's from TJ on Twitter, at Jones, W-E-E-I.
Yeah.
Agree. Strong start there. Are those all new drops, or are some of those from draft night, too?
Mm.
This is all this interview.
Nice.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Mm.
I still can't believe
it. I can already hear the song like being made.
Yeah.
It's already starting to sound like a song.
No, it's true. It's true, Ryan. So
like he's got like a beat machine.
Ryan's about to get in the lab.
So happy.
Anyway, we got more thoughts on the Patriots. We can mix in more on the Bruins and Celtics as well. That's next here on Jones and Mega with Arcan.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.